Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Your assignment from yesterday. Draw portraits of the aspects of ego you've seen. Jot down what each says. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy from Florida.
Hello, Sandy.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Boy, am I seeing a lot. This is a hugely charged issue for me. I've been dieting probably for the last 30 years. And so in trying to take a look at this, I've seen so many sub-personalities. There's the one that says, I deserve to be able to eat what my body would consider a comfort kind of food. There's the other one that says, you know better, but if I don't do it right now, I will surely die. And then, of course, once I eat something that doesn't support this body, I get beaten up over it. There's just, it's hard to sort out everything that's going on around this. And, yeah.
Right, which is key, isn't it?
It is.
The conditioning is such a whirl of thoughts and meaning and emotion that produces thoughts and sensations and that it's really hard to sort it out, which is the point. We just give up and do whatever we're told.
Right. Yeah. And because that's the easy way out.
Yeah. Yes. Even though there's a beating. We're made to believe that the beating is easier and better than sitting still with this and facing the horrors of what you're going to feel if you don't just do what the voice says.
Well, and you know, it's interesting when you said sitting still with it and being with it, because this eating of the food, meaning the food that doesn't support this body in a healthy fashion, or too much of healthy food even, there's a betrayal feeling here that I'm sensing inside of me, that food has been my trusty friend for so long. And now, you know, I need to, I'm attempting to make this shift to a healthier eating way. And so in order to do that, I find myself trying to demonize food. And the struggle is real.
Oh, that's so big, isn't it? So, so conditioning sets us up and to maintain itself, obviously, and then puts all of these aspects in place. And then we are so identified with it that when it says, I deserve, or I feel betrayed, or whatever it is, we're meant to assume, well, that's me. That's how I feel. And it feels awful. What we wind up with is it feels awful to do what takes care of us.
Yes. And so it ends up being a lose-lose for the me who's doing it.
Yes, yes. I remember that so well when I quit smoking cigarettes. I mean, it was the most hideous thing I ever went through. It felt so awful. And to try to get that I should do this because it's good for me, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But yeah, and so I can relate to that. That's when I became overweight and the struggle with food, because when I quit smoking, I just traded that addiction for a food addiction. So I wasn't overweight when I was a smoker, but when I quit smoking, then now I'm overweight. Yeah. And so the struggle continues, and I'm getting awfully tired of being caught in this. It feels like there's a tremendous amount of energy that this person could be using for
yes.
a lot of other things that would be a whole lot more enjoyable than I think about food all the time.
Yeah. And so it seems like what the focus is turning to is who is really betrayed in this system that has been set up, right? Who's really deprived? Who really deserves? Right? And that's the person
yes.
who's been left behind so that ego can fulfill its ambition of having all of our energy all of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so given that I can see that, where do I throw the switch?
Right. And, of course, I think that's coming up very soon, right? Maybe even today. I can't remember where it is in the program. But there is one where we're going to look at the missing voice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well,
remember that?
All right.
Yeah. And so that might be a really good way to start getting in touch with who has been left out of the equation. And as you said, you know, there's somebody you suspect, you know, actually, intuitively, you know, that there's all this energy consumed in this that could be yours. That is,
oh, yes.
Should be yours,
yes.
right? For you
yeah.
to enjoy your life thoroughly.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so
it's discouraging.
You're
yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm not
you're
giving up, and that's the good news.
Oh, that's right. Oh, it would be, and of course, again, before I let you go, the voices would like you to give up. Because if you're going to close in on this, if you're going to put this issue behind you, if you're going to be free of this, ego will do anything to stop you. Anything.
Well, I can see that since
yeah.
this has been a very long battle. So
mm-hmm.
I certainly can see
that. You're getting ready to win.
I am.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Sherry.
All right.
Thanks, Sandy. No, Sherry, the thing that struck me most about that conversation is the first thing Sandy said of how convoluted and complex it feels
yeah.
to be in the issue because
yeah.
there are so many warring perspectives all
yeah.
fighting against each other.
Mm-hmm.
The process that we're doing to articulate who's saying what is not so much to get clarity about all the players as much as to get clarity about how confusing it is to do it from inside the conditioned system.
Yes, because they are fighting each other to hold one another up.
That's right. To hold
right.
the suffering in place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm in it and I'm identified with any one of them, that's one problem. If I'm in it and I'm subject to all of them, that's another problem, right?
Yeah.
And it just,
yeah.
it's just, there's no way to solve the problem within quotes within the system. You have to exit the suffering place. And
yeah.
so to do an exercise like this and recognize how complex and convoluted and complicated it is at the content level, because all of these ego personalities have all their perspectives, then it's possible to step outside and find the compassion for the person that's stuck in it. And I think
yeah.
we always say this from that perspective of love, it's not solving the content problem, but solving the deepest hunger that exists in all human beings, from which it's possible to assist her to do whatever it is that she wants to do, but not from a place of punishment or deprivation or any of those
mm-hmm.
things. But until
mm-hmm.
we exit to compassion, we don't have any solution.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Disidentification. That's what this is leading us to, right? As you say, we're going to
yeah.
step back, stop looking through that mess mm-hmm. of convoluted conditioning and look at it.
Yes, and there's such
which
a relief,
right? Which is what
Sandy
was describing, yeah.
Yeah, the exhaustion that comes from being caught in it all the time and the relief mm-hmm. we feel is what I'm giving up is not weight, but the system that keeps me in this place of energy consumption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. It's Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hey. So, well, this is kind of a little bit of a follow-up. So if there's this driving desire for some food that's not part of eating with integrity, and then I'm not going to indulge that desire, then what's left is to be with or sit with or endure that physical tension, which is usually exhaustion intention. So again, it comes back to just kind of being there with the sensations and not making a run for it.
Right. Run for the food, right? And so
yeah.
what you're describing to me is it's not sitting with the sensations, because you know what those sensations are, right? What you want to be sitting with is the person who has been victimized by that story. Okay?
Huh.
And so with that, you said not eating in integrity, right? And so I'm going to project that's a big deal for you. Being in integrity, right? And the person who is not being victimized by the convoluted conditioning system, the one who's willing to sit there through the discomfort, the pain, the whatever, however we describe those sensations, that's the person of integrity. And that's who you want to be with.
Well,
right.
I'm unclear, because it seems like the person who's been victimized is, like, again, the person who gets told you won't be able to stand these sensations.
That's right. And so you sit there with her and you look at the sensations and you talk about it, you know. Now you're kind of going to be the mentor. You could be
yeah.
that person who's sitting there and the mentor is talking to you. You can take the role of the mentor and talk to her and talk about integrity and how she's stronger than any story, that those are just sensations. They don't mean that. Yeah, there's been a story that they mean that, and that's manipulated her into all kinds of behaviors that don't take care of her, but it's not true. All of that whole story is a lie, and she's stronger than that. The integrity that she chooses is far stronger than any lies from some convoluted conditioning. And that's the conversation you're sitting with. Not just mutely
uh-huh.
making her endure a bunch of sensations that she's been told mean, blah, 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 horrible stuff.
And also the being in a conversation, we can feel these sensations together. We can endure
right.
these sensations together.
You can.
Right?
What you can do, Elizabeth, is prove that those sensations don't mean that. And here's what I'm going to promise you. Okay, what you're going to realize is that sitting with those sensations, dropping those labels, dropping that meaning, you will begin to feel a sense of excitement, a sense of enthusiasm and delight as you watch those sensations, the labeling and the meaning associated with those sensations fall away, and they're just sensations in your body, and you realize how free you are and that they have no power over you any longer, you're going to relabel them as fun and exciting and thrilling. It's a true
uh-huh.
story, Elizabeth. I know it's kind of out there at this point, but it's a true story.
I like it. Okay, so relabeling, like, distressing physical sensations is exciting and fun.
Well,
and
what you don't have to relabel them. First of all, realize the labels they have are a lie. They're just sensations, right? They're just feelings in the body. They don't have those labels. They don't have those meanings. But what they're doing is keeping you from feeling what you will authentically feel when those meanings are no longer manipulating your energy. You're going to feel what freedom feels like in your body.
Okay, right. And we can never be free if we have fear of sensations.
That's exactly true. Yeah.
Thank you. Just need to hear it a million times.
Don't we all, Elizabeth? Don't we all? And we are the ones who hear it a million times and put it into practice. And that makes all the difference.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. So true, Sherry. I guess that's why we call it a practice.
Yep.
Because it is, first of all, that we listen, we show up to listen. We may not have the receptors to take the information in, but that doesn't prevent us from showing up. And
right.
it's your story about not what but how, right? I don't know what that means, but at some point I know I'll know what that means, but I keep having to show up until it drops in, or whatever is standing in the way of that is something that I receive, and then I apply. Mm-hmm. And as I apply, mm-hmm. I comprehend more, right?
That's right.
And something
that's
falls
right.
away. It's an entire
that's
process
right.
which we make ourselves, put ourselves into a frame of willingness for without totally
that's
understanding
right.
it.
That's right. We're
within
just
quotes.
Being available. That's why we say, people will come on retreat and say, I don't know what the heck you people are talking about. And my response to them is, that's fine. Just sit there. Let it wash over you. Mm-hmm. Let it just be like a warm shower. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Before long, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
all we need to do is let go of conditioned mind and open ourselves to the wisdom, love, and compassion that's animating us, and it will all be done for us.
Exactly. That's what I was looking at when you said that. It's, we're so used to letting conditioned mind do the work of figuring it out that we miss that there's another force operating that's working on us, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
On us and for us.
All right. Mm-hmm. On us and for us. That
mm-hmm.
is us.
That is
all
us.
Right. Here's,
right.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Am I there?
Next caller? Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
this is still in North Carolina. I don't remember where it was.
Oh, Bill in North Carolina.
Also that's right.
From North Carolina.
A new Phil.
Yeah, that's right. We don't know her yet. What's she doing?
No. Well, I am one thing I just wanted to mention right up front is that it is so, and I think we've talked about this, so wonderful to have these calls and to have Sangha and have all these connections. Because it's like no matter where I am, I'm home.
Yes. Yes.
It just feels that way.
And it's exactly what we were just talking about, right? Because home is home is center, right? And
it is.
That's
wherever
you're
I am.
You're making yourself available to what's animating you everywhere all the time. Yep.
Yes. And that's a wonderful gift that we have,
yes.
you know, that it is.
Well,
is so
it's
grateful.
A wonderful gift that we have, and we must avail ourselves of the gift. It will not be
yes.
forced on us, right? The intelligence
right.
animating us is not going to make us, in the tradition that you're very familiar with, God is not going to require us. That's what free will is all about. We have to
that's
say
right.
yes. We have to choose it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and just receive. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can feel grateful.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
we don't notice that.
That's right.
And all right, so what I'm focusing on is I was so excited about the first write-up, you know, to this focus,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. It really dropped in so deeply that what I want more than anything is to have every meal, you know, just be that kind of holy communion and to sit there and, you know, eat in awareness of the, you know, the entire universe
mm-hmm.
with every bite,
mm-hmm.
like that little quote said. Mm-hmm. And so that's what my focus is. And it's interesting, and I'm also, you know, when I'm doing the subpersonalities and stuff, I can see the ones that, because basically I eat okay. I mean, I eat harmlessly, and I have for years, harmless to me and harmless to the universe. So so that part's okay. But what I've seen is, even with that part, is that it all boils down to being too much in a hurry or being in a rush. And so not only am I maybe in a rush to, don't have time to go to the grocery store, or I don't, you know, something like that. Or
mm-hmm.
Then there's, it even did the money one. I do buy organically, but then when there comes to something really expensive, I, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a choice. So mm-hmm. so that's interesting. But this mindful eating boils down also to the kind of like has been hurry up. And so with this new focus, I'm really zeroing in on just sitting there and eating mindfully.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's been so nice.
Yes. Yes. Not doing
more
anything else.
Yeah.
Just sit down.
Right.
So you're referring to the mindful eating sign, right, at the monastery, which we've
mm-hmm.
all read 10 million times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you just sit down, you breathe a few times, you know, really get in the body, and then you start eating, and you really focus on the food, and you really chew, right? And you relax
right.
the body as it receives the food, and you express gratitude to the body, to the food, to the all that makes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of, you know, like all of a sudden, even while in the middle of eating, getting up and maybe having to do this or do that and then go back,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a whole different focus. And it's like that's the way, going back to the receiving, that I can receive, I'm noticing,
mm-hmm.
receiving the gift of, say, the blueberries and the this and the that. And it does feel like the whole universe is in every bite when and that's that kind of, yeah, and that communion with the
yeah.
whole universe and
mm-hmm.
All the different people and places, you know, this food has been, you know, and that kind of thing. So
yeah,
I've just been so excited and grateful for that dropping in as to being the focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the ways and means by which this has come to us, that the an experience of the oneness of all that is with every bite. And eat,
yeah,
and on
exactly.
top of that, just another, to eat slowly, so that the body
mm-hmm.
really does have time to receive it and take it in, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we know when things are moving really quickly, it's hard for us to focus and take things in, which is why ego wants us always to be in a hurry. So, yeah.
Yes,
all right.
It's not,
well,
it's not good for the body. It really isn't. So,
no,
yeah.
It's terrible.
So it helps
terrible.
Everybody and everything.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, you travel
right.
safely,
so,
huh?
Thank you, yeah, and thank
All
you
right.
for everything.
See you soon.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Sure, it really makes it, you know, what I was listening to in that conversation is the ritual of eating becomes just like meditation. It's the attitude of mind. It's not that you're eating.
Yes.
It's that you're communing with the universe
while you're eating. I have often heard you say that when we meditate, it is the time in which the universe and the universe can have a conversation.
Yes.
And, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then
life
when we
can
eat,
talk to
it's
itself.
The same thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just talking to my mother. There are so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita that talk about how the divine says, primarily, that is what I am, the food that you eat. That's how I become human, you know, through that life force. And to participate in that process is just, it gives me chills just to think about bringing that level of practice or orientation to the act of eating.
Wow. Yeah, that is truly beautiful.
I'll look up the reference
welcoming the divine, receiving the divine, the
becoming embodied.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that.
All right. Here's our last caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily. What are you seeing?
Well, I've been looking at how conditioning gets me around cooking and very familiar kind of personalities. And the big one that's getting me is being overwhelmed, like the conversation of, like, it's too much,
I'm
not capable.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't like choices. I don't like choices. I don't like being in charge. It's overwhelming. And it just makes a misery out of nothing.
Exactly. I was going to say that would just take the fun out of anything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were, I don't know, on some white beach somewhere in a tropical setting with that going on, it would be a misery.
Yeah.
So it's not really the cooking, right? It's actually not the food. It's not the cooking. It's that convoluted conversation and conditioned mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I see that, but it's particularly strong around that because it's about, you know, I'm in charge of feeding other people and this is my job as a mom to come up with something good and healthy, and then I have the thing going about, like, the victim of, if I do it, then, oh, it's the story, like, an unthankful job, and it's exhausting, I'm working so hard, and it's not appreciated, and so a lot of different things
and so,
around it.
Right, a lot of folks. A lot of ego folks involved in one of those stories, right? It's so it's so perfect for misery making. And so, what might you do to take care of her in that situation? Because I what just dropped in that inspired me to ask you that question is there's the whole internet, you know, and everybody in the world, it seems, wants to tell us how to make 30-minute healthy meals for our family. And so what might it be like for her if you supported her in doing that rather than the voices doing what they like to do, which is just abandon her to the kitchen, right? And now go ahead, think of something simple and nutritious. Go ahead, think of it. And and she's completely overwhelmed because she has no support. It's been turned into a contest. It's designed for her not to win. Can you get a sense of how you might be there with her? Because you have resources.
Yeah.
You have fingers to get on the internet. you have the smarts to figure it out, right?
Yeah. I mean, even when you said, oh, the internet, I just still got that overwhelming feeling like, oh, my God, I never opened that internet program with that vegan cooking. Like, there is just, and I do have a sense of how to, I mean, that needs to happen, like kind of being there with her. And
oh, yeah. Imagine that you have a 12-year-old who's, you know, who is in charge of this. It got dumped on her, right? You're going to fix the food for the family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How would you mentor her? How would you help her not only come up with the food, but get past all that crapola in the head? How would you be there with her to do that? And of course you could do it.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Because if you become that 12-year-old, well, you know how that feels, right? It's overwhelming. It's horrible. It's awful. You start wishing your family would starve to death and leave you alone.
Yeah. I feel very, I feel very embarrassed about it. I feel very embarrassed about it, too, being so young or feeling so young in this domain. It's that, too.
Absolutely. Yes, that's another part of the self-hating process, isn't it? Well, you should. I mean, for God's sake, you're a grown woman. You're a mother. You should. Yeah? Well, that's not helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's not who's in the kitchen. This little kid.
Yeah.
Got dumped on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back a few steps. Okay.
I see you two having a great time practicing cooking. get some good music going while you do it, okay?
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It can be fun.
Dancing between the refrigerator, the sink, and the stove? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I see you there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Thanks.
Emily.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Emily. And, Charity, that brings us to the end of another fun show. Here's our assignment. Go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this issue to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, voice missing. I'm not a good cook. It's hard for me not to be overwhelmed by a recipe with more than 4 ingredients.
Did you make that up for Emily?
Well, it was maybe so. It was just precisely for her, I think.
We had
for Sandy and Emily with love.
For Sandy and Emily, yes. That's so good of us.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's Friday, so we'll talk to everyone on Monday.
All right, so go happy. Have fun, huh? Enjoy that human being. All right, thanks, Ashwini.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.